What's happening, everybody? Good to see you all this fine Sunday morning. Yes, indeed. Got my clicker. All right. We are going to be continuing our series that we started last week, talking about stewardship and generosity. November 17th, that was last week. Check out Nick's message on how to be wildly happy. Talks about the generosity of God, and it's a powerful message. Today is November 24th, and I'll be speaking. Whenever I see November 24th, it's actually triggers something in my mind very special. It's my mother's birthday today, so there you go. That's mom's birthday. There it is. So had a cool little scrumptious dinner the other night that my wife prepared. Good stuff. Get to celebrate moms. She's a good woman. Amen. She found a pretty good husband, too. I mean, he's pretty good dude. Yeah. So this will be our series that it's a little mini series. We decided that this would be a good time of year, every year, to talk about this topic, especially in a month where a lot of Americans actually go into more debt. It's probably good as a church to not be naive. Let's just deal with it. Let's talk about it, right? And if you've noticed, we've even tried to do better at giving you, the members of this church, financial updates more than once a year. If you come to the midweek, we do that, right? We give you those. Let's talk about it. Why we got to run from it? Why we got to hide about money? It's not that big, it shouldn't be that big of a deal to us as a church. But really, it's not just about giving to the church and all that kind of stuff. It's about becoming more like Jesus. It's about being an apprentice of Jesus, and it's about, as we've discussed many times, bearing the image of God in this world. God is a generous God. We should be generous people. It should be a marker of who we are as followers of Jesus. And it doesn't only mean how much money you give to the church. That's not what it means. Okay, that's just not only what generosity means. That's a manifestation of generosity. It's an expression of it, but that's not the only way to express generosity. So we wanted to talk about that. In fact, we were in a staff meeting. No, this was our meeting where we talk about what we're going to preach about on Sundays. And we're sitting there talking, and the topic of generosity came up. We're talking about it. So we have Generosity Sunday every year. It's something that we feel great about. We kind of financially fund the things that we have faith in, and we try to make it happen. And we pray and we give. But that's not the only time we should talk about generosity, right? And then we start talking about, we could even do this series right now, and some members might actually think they're just trying to talk about money so we can give more to the church. We actually talked about that. Might that's what they think? That really, really, all they really want to tell us is to give more money to the church. And so we were sitting there having a good conversation about it, and I think I felt like we were in agreement that we were like, we want people to give in all kinds of ways. We want people to give to great charities that they feel like are helpful to people. We really think that's a good thing. We would like people, if you find out one of your neighbors is struggling and had a big hospital bill, whatever, we hope you give money to your neighbor. Anonymously drop off some groceries, something. And we actually, guess what? If you do that, that money that you could have used to give to the church, you gave it to the charity. Is that technically possible? Absolutely. So, Jeff, you mean that this series could make people give less to the church? Isn't that bad business? It's a terrible business model. But we really thought about it. We said, we really want to highlight and celebrate people when they are just being generous in general. And maybe that's a way we could even open up on a Sunday, to have section of our services every now and then where people just express about really how they're trying to be more like Jesus and really are becoming more like him in generosity, and maybe have a testimony about how God has changed their heart and how they've given in different ways. To really, really make it clear to you all that we're willing to say, we believe that if people just become more like God, over time, they'll give more to the church. That's just going to be a part of it. But that's not the only reason why we're going to talk about being generous. And hopefully you can trust that that's the place that we're coming from. to be spiritually formed, to be more like Jesus, which is why we're here in so many ways. We trust that over time, you'll give more to all kind of stuff and in all kind of ways. And that's what we're going to trust in. We're going to bank on that. We're going to talk about it every year because Jesus talked about it a lot. And so that's kind of the heart of what we're getting at. And I'm going to say a prayer and we're going to continue as we continue this series. Lord, we just want to quiet our minds and approach you with humility. Lord, we know that whenever your scriptures are talked about, it's really a sacred moment. Lord, I really pray that the message, the heart of what your spirit inspired in the writing of these words, I really pray that people can receive what you want them to receive. Lord, I pray to not be an obstacle, but just a vessel for you to use. Lord, help us to become more generous people, yes, but help us to take seriously your teachings about wealth and money and not blow them off because we've been conformed by the pattern of this country. Please help us, God. We cling to you for wisdom and guidance on how to live in this world. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nick said this last week. Money, you know what? It's not good or evil, but it's not neutral. It's powerful. I think that's spot on, right? Like I said, my mom, you know, I've shared a million times all the things I've learned from my mom, single mom, duking it out, trying to teach me, no dad around. I didn't grow up in the country or nothing, so no dad around. I don't know how to hunt. I don't know how to go out in the yard and chop wood and build a house, you know what I mean? I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Hey, amen, you know? But I gotta imagine like old Dave Pallas up here with his sons. If Dave Pallas was gonna try to teach his kids how to use a chainsaw, I'm assuming he'd be very serious about that. Like I'm assuming if he's trying to teach his kids how to use a chainsaw, he'd be like, don't be messing around with this chainsaw. Like there's serious, you can't be playing around. You gotta put your goggles on. You don't want no wood chipping in your eyes. You gotta hold it a certain way. You gotta keep it away. I mean, you gotta point. I'm assuming all that stuff is in the teaching of how to use a chainsaw. But what's definitely there is seriousness about the danger of it. Yeah. How do you talk about a chainsaw and not talk about the danger of it? But we don't talk about money like that. But Jesus did. He did. You look at all the teachings of Jesus on money. And most of the time, he's warning us. Be careful. Be seriously careful. There's something powerful about what money can do to a human. You got to be on your guard about it. That was the mindset of Jesus. And so that's why we're talking about it in the church today, because it's important. We're going to steal some words from Jesus, right? About be on your guard. And we're going to just look in the Bible today. All right? A couple passages kind of want to focus on. I'm going to use my paper Bible, my big print Bible. Let's go. Luke chapter 12. Gray-haired preacher got the big print Bible. Let's go. It's like a country song. Luke chapter 12. I'll just jump in. Verse 15. Jesus said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." This one sentence from Jesus is really never going to be taught anywhere in the United States of America, in my opinion, other than the church. I mean, where are you going to get this message? Not one advertisement jumping into your phone has this message in it. Nope. Absolutely not. It's quite literally the opposite of this message. You and I live in a world that quite is literally the opposite of what Jesus says here. There's no watch out, be on your guard. It's, hey, let your guard down so I can get you to want all this stuff. But Jesus, you've got to be careful. Greed can take you out. What does this word greed mean? It means the desire to have more than one's due, than what you need. A strong desire to possess more things than other people have, irrespective of need. That's greed. It gets in there. An abundance of possessions, quite honestly, is what many of us desire. Even as Christians, it can get in there. Yeah. Let's just be honest. So Jesus said, I'm going to keep talking. As if that wasn't enough, that was a pretty clear, you don't need Greek and all that. That's a clear one. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Then he tells him a story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, all right, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you've prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is a message, brothers and sisters, we need to hear. I'm not going to be your friend today. I'm not going to have funny jokes. I'm not going to be all lovable Jeff today. You're probably going to have problems with me today, and I love that too. Amen. Here we go. So, the truth of the matter is, this is a rich man. He had a great harvest. Amen. Now, you think about a rich man with a bunch of land and has a harvest. Now, think about the harvest. What's actually, how did he get that stuff harvested? Because I'm going to tell you what, he probably wasn't out there on his hands and knees or dealing with any tools or instruments to even get that harvest in, if you think about it. He was relying on other people to bring the harvest in. And he was relying on the ground to yield what it yielded. And guess who was in control of that? God. Not him. So he relied on everybody else, you know? But, and God is the one that brings it. But guess who? He thinks to him, what shall I do with my stuff? And that is really the challenge right there. Yeah. Yeah. God has provided. God has done what God has done. Yes, you have a part in it. But instead of you giving praise to God, you make it about yourself. Now it becomes your stuff. Once again, this is a message we need to hear in our country. Our country's almost built on this very model. Let me get more stuff. Yeah. It's called capitalism, yeah. Which is my doggone right. In fact, this is a Christian nation. Therefore, Jesus wanted us to have capitalism. And matter of fact, the more money I make, keep your grubby hands off of it. That's my right. That's my American right. And God's country, so God must, he must be cool with this whole setup. In fact, let's export this whole concept to other countries so they can be like us. We got to be careful, guys. We have a very, this is my stuff, I got it, I own it, I deserve it, it's my right kind of thing. And literally my God-given right to accumulate wealth. You know, just think about that. Like if God were going to set up some type of social economy type thing, do you sincerely think, let me set up an economy where people, the number one thing is to make as much money as you can and keep it for yourself. Like, I don't think he would do that. But I really believe that's what we kind of have fallen into because we've conformed to the pattern of this country more than the kingdom of God. tearing down barns, building bigger ones, storing surplus gain. Not one time does he think, like, how can I give some of this stuff away? How can I be a blessing to other people? That one thought, how can I be a blessing to others, would have changed the whole tenor of this parable. But that's nowhere in there. It's just I. So we have got to be careful. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry, you know. God said to him, man, that's foolish thinking. But literally, once again, this is the goal for many of our lives, to get to this place where we can take life easy, be relaxed, count my stuff, save it for the next generation, which again is not quote unquote horrible or wrong. I'm not mad about that, but I do think you got to be careful about that too. Many of us are blessed to be able to give a lot of money and leave a lot of money for our kids or whatever, and that's nothing wrong with, praise God, amen. But it should be like training with the chainsaw, though. You should be explaining to them, money's got some power, especially money that you didn't do nothing to earn. When I die, and you can go to the lawyer and the executor of my will and figure out how much you got, just so you know, that's a chainsaw waiting to take you down if you don't understand money. You understand what I'm saying? Leave something for your kids, but you better explain to them to be on your guard. This money just dropping in your lap, it could... You think you're doing them a favor, and amen. I hope I could leave my kids something, but dang, I'm going to hope I can teach them too. You know? You trying to take life easy. Jesus said, oh, that's the kind of life you want? Well, guess what? That life that you're trying to take, which is not Zoe. Right. Just so you know, this is not spiritual life. The word here is psuche. Different word. All right, the Zoe, it is not the Zoe. Oh, you were trying to set your whole world up for kind of this life. Well, it's going to get taken from you. And all that storing up you did, it's going to be left for somebody else. And he can say, and I know two of your kids are knuckleheads. That money going to be gone within 5 months. They already booked their trip to Vegas. It's over. Dad would be happy if I did this because he wants me to be happy. We got to teach people about money. Jesus said, be on your guard. Greed is trying to get in there. So be careful. Hey, make your money. Praise God. Because there are a lot of people in here that have made a lot of money and they are massively generous. Yeah. Praise God. You know, most people, that would be a struggle. We need to learn how to be rich toward God and not just store up things for ourselves. Rich toward God. And what does that look like? We're going to talk about that at the end and give you some real practicals on how to be rich toward God. Because I don't want us to fall into the same fate as the spirit of this particular passage. There's another passage we're going to look at in the time that we have left. Join me as we turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Nick talked about 1 Timothy 6 last week, and he focused on 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, you know, Paul's trying to explain some things to Timothy. He actually says, man, you know, there is some sound teaching from Jesus and really teaching on godliness, but he said some people won't even listen to it. And he said some people actually will actually become teachers and preachers and actually preach stuff that's not even righteous. And they actually use the form of godliness without power, but a form of godliness as a means to profit financially. I mean, that's really crooked when people use, you know, spiritual teaching to try to make money. And in verse 6, he goes, but you know what's really profitable? He says, godliness with contentment. Now, that's great profit. Godliness and contentment. And we're going to talk about contentment as well. But let's let Paul keep writing. Let's let him develop this thought. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great profit in that. It is a play on words. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Okay. That should form your thinking about money. It should. You can't take it with you. And we know that, but no, we know it as a like little pithy saying, but let it form you. Think about this statement when you're thinking about money and your relationship with it. This should factor in. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. How content are we with the food and clothing we got now? Right? And here's the deal. I've seen some people, I'm at the hospital now. I can tell you right now, we got people coming to the hospital. They don't have a lot of resources. They come in, they got something wrong with them. Those paramedics, whatever, they'll cut your clothes off because they're trying to save your life. Right? So they're just trying to help you out. But hey, I have been asked to go as a chaplain. Hey, we got to go to the discharge room because brother so-and-so, he ain't got no clothes. And he about to get discharged. And they're going to discharge people with these like paper onesies kind of. I'm dead serious. Do you feel what I'm saying? Sending them out in Kenistone Hospital, a mile and a half from here. Some people ain't got nothing. And we open up our closets, man. Do I want the pink shirt, the blue shirt, the green shirt, right? And then still want more. Got to get the mauve shirt now. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Do we really need all of that? Hey, give us today our daily bread. Hundreds of years of study on that. You know what Jesus is getting at? Be content. Just be content with the necessities. That prayer can form you spiritually if you allow it. You're not taking nothing out of this world. You came in with nothing. Be content with what the necessities of life. Can you be content with the necessities of life? Thank you, God, for the daily bread that I'm going to get today. Help me not to grab for more bread. That prayer is spiritually forming. It is countercultural to the spirit of America. Be careful, is all I'm saying. Jeff, you're down on the United States. I'm not down on the United States. Come on, man. I love living here. I ain't trying to live nowhere else. But why would you come to church to hear? Just some dude to tell you what you want to hear? I mean, you didn't come to get challenged? What, you think the United States is some perfect place? They ain't got no problems? Money is a problem. Jesus kept saying it, watch out. But we don't watch out. We're not on our guard. We are grabbing for as much as we can get. And if you don't think that's a problem spiritually, those who want to get rich, verse 9, listen to all the problems. You got two verses and look at all the problems. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is not great. Jesus talked about it. Jesus dies, goes, you know, resurrected, right? But those trying to live out his teachings, Paul's saying, this is one of his teachings. This aligns with Jesus' teachings. Be careful about money. It'll mess you up spiritually. Wanting to get rich, loving money, eager for money. If you're going to try to look at me in the face and tell me that doesn't describe our country, I think you're crazy. You know what? You know what Mark 4? You know what Jesus said about wealth? It's deceitful. Wealth is deceitful. It lies to you. It makes promises to you that it can't fulfill. That's a liar. Money will lie to you. That's what Jesus said. Paul is saying the same thing. Eager for money, running after it, trying to get as much as you can. Massive accumulation of it. You better watch out. Because many people, even faithful people, I love Jesus, maybe even said Jesus Lord, they have wandered from the faith. You can sit there, man, don't you understand what's happening here? I don't care. Hey, forget y'all. You're messing with my money. You don't have a right to talk about my money or whatever they say. You know, hey, I appreciate Paul. He said in verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this. Hey, fight or flight. You know what I'm saying? Fight or flight. Hey, if I'm in the ocean over there at the Panama City and I see a shark fin, this brother ain't fighting. I'm flighting. You know what I'm saying? I'm out. I'm not one of those people that go to the zoo and go, oh, look at that lion. He's just docile. Let me jump over and get a picture, a selfie. That's not me. Flight. Run the other way. But hey, you put up a bunch of money in front of us, we like Gollum, just running. Hey, little precious, you know, those people can't handle it, but I can handle it. Just give me a lot of money. I'll be all right. I'll be fine. Everybody else got problems. I can handle wealth. I got this. No, you don't. Not without Jesus. That's why Paul said you need to flee from all that eager for money junk. Run away. Because you can't be that guy to be eager for money, to run after it, right? You can't be that guy and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness at the same time. So you choose. You got to choose. Because if you run towards faith and righteousness and godliness and love and endurance and gentleness, then guess what? You'll have the right perspective. You'll be spiritually formed well, and you'll have a much better chance of handling money. But if you think you can go eager for money and grab it and get as much as you can and then turn into a righteous, spiritual, faithful person, you are deceived. Which is what Jesus said wealth does to us. It deceives us. Mark 4. You are not the exception, and neither am I. All right? Okay. How do we deal with this? First thing is be generous. Listen to Nick's message last week. The generosity of God, that's where it starts. So we need to be generous, right? The more we get, the more we want, but also, the more we give, the more content and at peace we become. Become a person that gives. But become a person that gives with the intention of realizing that when you become a giving person, you are becoming more like God. And you are giving him the ability to form Christ in you. So it's not just an act. Okay, let me do this so I can be considered good at the North River Church. Let me just, you know, Jeff said be generous. Okay, well, what can I give to? I would rather you go, okay, I have an option. I have options to do with what I have, what God's given me. If I am generous with this, if I choose to get Walmart gift card for the Angel Tree, yes, I could use that money on something else, but I'm going to choose to give it to somebody else. God, please help this form you in me. Help every decision like this to change me from the inside out. Please. Not just let me do this so I can feel better about myself when I go buy my other stuff. No, that's not how it works. How do we flee from all the craziness? Be generous and be content. Contentment is being satisfied in whose you are, who you are, and what you have. Those who love and serve Jesus can be truly content. Those who love and serve money can never be. Interesting quote from Randy Alcorn. So be generous, be content. And seek simplicity in our lives, right? The disciplined pursuit of less. Ooh, that just, that is the antithesis of the United States of America, man. The disciplined pursuit of less. That, you gotta be honest, if I ask you on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 means you strongly love this statement, and you know, 0 means you hate it. It would be ones and zeros all across, if you're being really honest. But this is something that, hey, if we can get there, a joyful unconcern for possessions. Man, I like that phrase. What is simplicity? Limiting the number of our possessions, our expenses, our activities, and social obligations to a level where we are truly free to live joyfully and generously in the kingdom of Jesus. Let's look at our lives now, right? Step back and just say, hey, are there ways that we can do less so we can give more and be more generous, be more simple in our lives? These are the things that have marked Christians for 2,000 years. It's a struggle here, though. It's a struggle. Let's be honest. Ultimately, what we are searching for in money, peace, happiness, security, satisfied desire, we can only find in God. And that may be the most sinister aspect of wealth. It deceives us because it promises all of these things. And once you get it, you actually become more anxious usually, more stingy a lot of times, more angry. I mean, that studies galore, social science studies galore. You get more money, it can mess you up. It's deceiving. So what are you really searching for? There's nothing wrong to search for security or happiness or peace or desire, but a relationship with God, that's where that comes from. So run towards a relationship with God in such a way that allow him to form you. Yield yourself to God's Spirit. God's Spirit can make you generous. He can. That's what he does. It's all connected to God if we have the right perspective of who he is. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Amen. Jeff, what does that have to do with money, though? I want you to find out. That's the work you need to do. How does God not forsaking me have anything to do with me and money? Like, why does that affect how I handle money? You need to figure that out for yourself. Yeah. And you might need to sit with one of your best friends or somebody you love or in your small group. Why is that a reasoning to keep me free from the love of money and be content? What is it? What does a relationship with God or being with God have anything to do with that? Go and learn what that means this week. Meditate on it. Sit on it. Talk to people about it. Our relationship with God, that's the genesis and the beginning point of our contentment. But you got to figure that out for yourself. I'm going to say a word of prayer. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Oh, Lord, this is challenging to me because I still would like a really nice car. Sometimes I just do. Or like, you know, a bank account with like a lot in it. So I can do like whatever I want, whenever I want. It just seems to me like that is a way better way to live life. And Lord, I know that is not, that's not what Jesus really taught. He taught other things. And I just pray, Lord, that we can get the right mindset about possessions. They're not evil or bad in and of themselves, I know, Lord. But please help us, because we are just inundated with a message that's against every word that we've read out of the Bible today. And I just pray help us to not be deceived by wealth. Please, God, help us to not base our lives on the number of possessions we have or looking at what other people have and trying to match it or beat it. There's so much of that going on. God, help us to be content with the daily bread you give us. Please help us, God. It's so hard here. And I'm just grateful to come to a place where I can hear Nick's message last week. I'm looking forward to Jordan next week, and just where I can be taught things that I don't hear other places, where the Bible can be opened and we can wrestle with its teachings and we can encourage each other and spur each other on and challenge each other, but with love, not with judgment. I'm grateful for this place, and I'm grateful for all Christian churches all around the world that are wrestling with these topics and fighting for it, holding out and fighting the good fight of the faith. I'm grateful that along with Christians all over the world, we get to reflect and stop in our lives and take bread into our bodies that represents Jesus' body. We can take this in our body and be reminded of Jesus and remember him, not just what he did, but what he taught. And I pray that this fruit of the vine we drink, that we can remember the blood he shed. And we can also remember that even though he shed his blood and died, he rose again and will come back, and we can live with him forever. In a place where greed is not running things. But help us to be his representatives as we live on this earth in this day and age. God, help us And thank you for Jesus. Pray in his name. Amen.